Continue. We've already heard a good portion of scripture this evening, and thank you for Pastor Tom Martin for leading that to this point. I hope you heard, as we're at a Good Friday service in Psalm 22, that crying out from Christ, and then when we went to Philippians, we saw just why he was willing to endure that for obedience to the cross and counting others better than himself, and we would do well to be of the same mind. That said, let's continue with the scriptures. The scripture passage for this evening's message from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 28. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb, according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, and you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until morning. Anything that remains until morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it. With your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses, for if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwelling places. You shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of this house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when the children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses.'
And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. And the people of Israel went and did so as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did.
That is God's word for us, for his people of Israel, and for us today. And as we have read that, let's pray and approach him. Lord God, we thank you that you speak to us, that you condescend to give us words that we might understand. We pray that your Holy Spirit would lift the veil, that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear what you would have us know, and that as we understand more about keeping your statutes, we would know all the greater that it is by the blood of Christ that we celebrate this season, which we always will memorialize. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So, I do want to say, as I begin the message proper, thank you for the warm welcome. As Pastor Tom Martin mentioned, I was ordained about 6 months ago, and just literally last week was finally commissioned as a chaplain in the Maryland National Guard. And that's just so you know how long it takes paperwork for this stuff to go through. But I hold probably a record in our presbytery. While I am newly ordained and newly commissioned as a chaplain, I'm not new to the presbytery. I was under care of it for 12 years, which is not a record that anybody, you don't want to hold that record. And in that time, again, Pastor Tom Martin's always been a kind and welcoming person, so I'm glad to be here with you all this evening. And we do at Living Hope want to stay connected to the churches in our region. That said, that is relevant to my opening illustration. It is a bit ironic that I am not really one for ceremonies. That is ironic because, again, I just took a position as a National Guard chaplain, and I can tell you they do a fair amount of ceremonies. Before that, I've been in the National Guard for 19 years, or military, 16 years in the National Guard, 3 active duty. That's just accuracy. But I was in the Army Band. And you do a lot of military ceremonies over the years. And I've never been one for that. I held a civilian job for years as an academic advisor with a University of Maryland University College. They made us work the ceremony for graduation on an annual basis, literal pomp and circumstance. And I think it's just probably I'm not one for formality, but I've been steeped in it in all of my professional life. And that's okay. I will tell you one formal ceremony that has always come across as meaningful to me is Memorial Day. Annually, I have worked at a ceremony up at Delaney Valley Memorial Gardens. It's directly north of the city in Timonium area. And, sorry, the city up there, Baltimore. We're down near D.C., right? Yeah. And they will tell stories of soldiers who have passed over the year. I've been in for the last 19 years, so I've heard my share of stories of soldiers who have died combat-related events. And in those ceremonies, they will talk a good deal about ultimate sacrifice. There's a big emphasis on ultimate sacrifice. And I come from a culture, and maybe some of you do too, where those who choose to sacrifice their lives for freedom, they are highly revered. And I do believe there is a certain amount of reverence that we do need to give to that. That said, as a Christian, I think we also need to keep in check whether or not we're romanticizing and idolizing that kind of sacrifice. I think we need to keep it in perspective of what true ultimate sacrifice is. And that's the season we're in right now. Now, obviously, we understand that on a regular basis, but we're at a time of the year where that comes into particular focus. So what I want to get out of this passage today, where we've talked about, the Lord's Passover and that sacrificial lamb, I want us to see two main points of memorial, which I just mentioned, and preparedness. I want to see memorial and preparedness in our scripture today. So what is the value of memorial? I was just talking about it, memorial for our soldiers, those who gave their lives for our freedom in this culture. So, with the value of that memorial, how does that prepare us for what is to come? So, several verses in today's scripture establish the nature of this memorial. As we get into it, I want to say that I think it's very interesting that we are, if you recognize it, we're at the tail end of the plagues. We are at the 10th plague, that culmination of God's work to have his people freed from Egypt in these confrontations with Pharaoh. And I think it's very interesting that we're getting the instructions on how to memorialize the event of the Passover before it even happens. Shouldn't that be a great comfort to Moses and Aaron as they are preparing for what's about to befall them? So that said, getting to the scripture with it, we know that this will be a defining moment for God's people, as it says, starting in verse 2 there, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses," a lamb for a household. So again, it's a new year. They're marking the calendar by this event. It's of first importance to their identity as a people. With that, you know, a lot of times when we talk about celebrations that are important to us as God's people, it's popular in our culture often to reveal the pagan roots of whatever that celebration might have been. You may hear that, you know, often at Christmas, you know, whether or not we're tacking on to celebrations of the solstice or whatever it may be. And sure enough, in my historic reading on Passover, it was noted that perhaps there was some Egyptian pagan ceremony that this might have corresponded with, this Passover event. And I would just want to add there, I don't think that should cause us any concern as everything that's been going on in these plagues, in these confrontations with Egypt, is God asserting his dominance over the Egyptian culture, the Egyptian gods, and what has been going on. So there is no problem with any of our rituals, any of our ceremonies having some correspondence with the world outside of us, because God has every right to direct those celebrations, those recognitions back to himself, rightfully so. So that may be the case with what's going on here. We don't know that explicitly, but should you ever have a discussion in that regard. That said, we know that this is going to be a specific memorial for the people. Like I said, that's got to be encouraging to know that you're going to live to memorialize this event. We see that explicitly in verses 14. "This day shall be a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." And of course, it's called a memorial today, memorial day, memorializing what? Verse 17, "You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, again, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever." So brought out of Egypt, that defining act of deliverance for God's people. And one notable place that we see how defining of an act this is in the preamble to the Ten Commandments. We are to follow his commands because the Lord delivered us, his people, out of Egypt. It's key to their identity as God's chosen and redeemed people. Now with that, again, they're to keep this as a statute forever. So what does forever mean? Because here we stand today, and we're not at the Passover season as the Christian church. We're in the Easter season. So what does that mean for us? Well, Colossians chapter 2, 16 and 17, you don't necessarily have to turn there. This will be real quick there. But it frees the New Testament believers from judgment on the issue of Sabbaths. And, you know, I may use that as a, you know, maybe a little justification for my aversion to ceremony and things like that. But the reality is we're not expected as New Testament believers to keep this memorial day. So what does that mean if it's to be a statute forever? Did God not mean forever when he said this to the people of Israel? And certainly we know Christ didn't have opposition to the Passover feast. He celebrated it, correct? Christ celebrated the Passover. Well, let's see what Christ did in that. Here you may want to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 to 8. I'll give you a second there. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 to 8. "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival not with old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So in this passage, linking what this Old Testament Passover with Christ, we've got this image of old leaven. That leaven would have been used as yeast, and we know from our reading today that the Passover bread was to be eaten without the leaven to show that there was no time. They're eating in haste. Now, in the New Testament passage in 1 Corinthians 5, as we just read, the unleavened bread is sincerity and truth. That's not a vague general sincerity and truth. That is a sincere understanding of the truth of Jesus Christ as the true Passover lamb. We have a fuller understanding of who we are as God's redeemed people now. As God's redeemed people now, we understand our identity to be in Christ, the true Passover lamb. He is the true and final fulfillment of that remembrance. So I think it's in that sense we can gladly say that we're keeping that as a statute forever. Christ as our Passover lamb. Even though we're not celebrating the Passover, and by the way, when I preached this message recently at our home church, there was an old retired minister who's living up in a retirement community who they are with a retired messianic pastor celebrating that Seder, having it point forward to Christ. No issues with that. I think that's great as long as it's pointing them forward to Christ. That said, but we can understand that it's kept forever in his person, not just in simply ritually practicing this old memorial. But do we do anything today? Do we have a current analog to that? I would absolutely say that we do. In Luke chapter 22, if you'd like to turn there, feel free. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 20. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table, he being Christ, and the apostles with them. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. Now I hope it's obvious what I'm getting at. This is how we memorialize Christ. We memorialize Christ, the true Passover lamb, in the Lord's Supper. And so I've mentioned that it is the Easter season, so I felt this was a wholly appropriate message, but it's not limited today. It's not limited to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. This is something we regularly memorialize as God's people. And that is a great display of God giving us a statute forever and him faithfully allowing us to continue to declare that sacrifice. Now, in memorializing that sacrifice of Christ, the true Passover lamb, we want to ask, well, why was it done in haste for God's people in the Old Testament? It is because of preparedness for God's judgment. Back in our original text, Exodus 12, 11, in this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, we've read that from the ESV. Many of you may be familiar with the classic King James translation, where it talks about girding up your loins. Girding up your loins, we've got that imagery of lifting your robe, having your belt tightened, and being ready to go, I assume, so that you don't trip over your robe. I would assume that that is the point of that imagery here. I think I'm in good company when I make that assumption. That said, so we've got that imagery for our Old Testament passage for the people of Israel. Well, so what does that mean in our New Testament day? We can see that in a couple places in 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Preparing your minds for action, we're looking forward to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Also in Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 35, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I read several verses in a row because I definitely wanted to get to that point. Be ready. The Son of Man, Christ, is coming at an hour you do not expect. Well, how are we ready? Getting back to both those New Testament passages I read there, they have that phrase, prepare your mind for action, or stay dressed for action. Frankly, any Bible that's worth its salt on the translation is going to point you that it, in the original language, in that Greek there, it was pointing back to that same phrase from the Hebrew for girding up your loins. It's the same imagery. We are to be prepared for Christ and his coming again. We are to be prepared for his revelation, for his grace and his coming in glory by being ready for action, girding up our loins. Well, question would be how? How are they to be ready and prepared for action in Exodus? Back to our Exodus passage, verse 7. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel. I don't mind advertising. I looked up lintel. It's the cross piece at the top. I won't use that word. To put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So they were prepared by having that blood as a sign that marked them as God's people. That's how they were prepared. And I want to ask the question there, was it all about their personal and physical temporal acts of obedience? Is that what earned them a place as God's people? And I trust most people in this room have been a part of Reformed churches, and as I ask that leading question, my answer is going to be no. Of course, it was not their own acts of obedience. Well, how do we know that? Well, who was representing them? Moses. And in Hebrews 11, we have very clearly stated that by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Moses is understood in Hebrews to be looking forward to Christ. By faith, now we get to where we are with Moses, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Moses lived a life of faith. It was not just one technical act of obedience that earned him this status as one of God's people. And I really want to emphasize that in the fact of, you know, we might often forget, if you didn't guess, Living Hope is in the middle of Exodus right now. And you may recall early on in Moses' story, he's guilty of murder. That's Moses. That's who God chose to represent his people. He's no better than us. He needed faith in the same way we did. And again, the author of Hebrews understands him as looking forward in faith to Christ, whereas we can look backward to this act of obedience for Christ, his death and resurrection, and forward to his coming again, what we're to be prepared for. So, in that Moses looked forward to Christ, in that we look forward to Christ, there is no meaning to this Passover without Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more, how much greater is the sacrifice of Christ? It is his blood that purifies us. It is his blood by which we are set apart as God's people. He is our true Passover lamb. So with all that, what do we do? What do we do? How do we memorialize? How do we prepare? Now again, I've pretty much said it, but again, remember I spoke at the beginning about ultimate sacrifice. I spoke about ultimate sacrifice of soldiers who gave their lives for our freedom. I mean, absolutely no disrespect to them. We are right to show our appreciation to those who sacrifice themselves on our behalf. But we need to keep it in perspective that that is temporary earthly freedom that those folks are working for. And we don't want to confuse that with what our end goal is and with what we're truly to be prepared for. So whenever we look at this Passover and whenever we look at Good Friday, the Easter season, and whenever we take that Lord's Supper, we can remember that God delivers his people. Absolutely. And he calls us to memorialize that, but we know it just wasn't just the defeat of the Egyptians. We know it wasn't just the death of the firstborn of those people in Egypt. And we know it just wasn't just moving from one land to another, from Egypt into the promised land. We know that what we are memorializing is ultimately freedom earned for us by Christ, which is the freedom to have eternal life. Freedom from sin and death and hell. Freedom to live by faith. And so we memorialize that which he earned us, by declaring his death until he comes. We're not just declaring his death. We're declaring his death until he comes again. There was no meaning to that death without his resurrection. So how do we be prepared? That's what we are to memorialize. How are we to be prepared? Well, number one, rest in Christ. Rest in his finished work. Know that it is not by our acts of obedience that we will be prepared, but rather by his gift of faith, sealed to us by the Holy Spirit. We are marked with his Holy Spirit. So we can be prepared in that way, but we are to live in that state of preparedness. Perhaps in that state of preparedness, we're not so attached to everything in this world. We're not so attached to everything that we're going to be called to leave behind. We're to be ready for action. We're to gird up our loins by living lives of faithful obedience, knowing that we'll experience that true freedom, that true eternal life, that true grace, that true mercy, that true glorification in the next life. And so when we read in Exodus 12, verse 11, in this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in hand. You eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. We're talking about those girded loins, and let me point us again back to 1 Peter 1:13. Prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded and set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ is what we await, and we are ready for that because of his sacrifice that we memorialize. Let's pray. Lord God, we are a people who need constant reminders of your work on our behalf. We so often get comfortable in Egypt. We get comfortable in Babylon. We get comfortable in modern-day America. And we, even when we're frustrated and we feel like we're held captive, our first inclination is to think, why not make this place all the better? And certainly we can. Certainly we can work to live lives of peace and prosperity here. But that said, we know that you are calling us to be ready for the life to come, a life which we could not earn, a life which we do not deserve. We, by our sin, do not deserve to be delivered from death. But Christ, who did deserve that, gave himself up. He emptied himself. He was obedient to the point of death. And so as we remember that, as you so often remind us, be it through the Passover, be it through Easter, be it through the Lord's Supper, as you've called us to, as we remember that, we pray that you would change our hearts and our minds so that we would not be so attached to the things of this life, but rather we would store up our treasures in heaven. We would look forward to your glory and that we would declare its coming to the world around us. We pray that you would give us peace in the knowledge that we will experience your true freedom. And we pray that you would give us strength and patience to endure unto that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.